The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, from the 20th chapter, Glory to you, O Lord. Our Gospel this morning comes from Luke chapter 20, verses 27 through 40, and can be found on page 1634 in your pew Bible. Luke records, "Some of the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus with a question. 'Teacher,' they said, 'Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless. The second, and then the third, married her. And in the same way, the seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died too. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her?" And Jesus replied, "The people of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of taking part in the age to come and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage. And they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. But in the account of the burning bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise. For he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For to him all are alive." Some of the teachers of the law responded, "Well said, teacher." And no one dared to ask him any more questions. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Distractions and false assumptions abound in this gospel and in this world today. But Jesus knows the heart. When I was a child, I enjoyed brain teasers, and I still do. Here's a couple for you. The first one's to warm you up. Are you listening? Okay. If a rooster lays an egg on top of a barn, which way does it roll? Roosters don't lay eggs. Okay. All right. Very good. One for one. Here's another classic. One of the classic brain teasers is a riddle that is in a form of a poem. It goes like this. As I was going to St. Ives, I met a man with seven wives. Each wife had seven sacks, and each sack had seven cats. Each cat had seven kits. Kits, cats, sacks and wives, how many were going to St. Ives? Okay, can't pull the wool over your eyes, and that's good. That is exactly right. There was only one, the man who's telling the story, right? Yeah. Okay. So many of you obviously have heard this one before, and you knew the answer. It's simple. Once you know the trick, and there's always a trick. You see, the poem starts out with the phrase, as I was going to St. Ives. And only one person in the poem was going to St. Ives. Since the teller of the poem met the Kits, Cats, Saxon wives, they were, the Kits, Cats, Saxon wives, headed away from St. Ives. And all those characters were merely distractions to get you confused, which it didn't confuse you, about the real nature of the problem. There are thousands of brain teasers like that. And most brain teasers use some sort of verbal trickery to distract us from finding the easy way to the solution, the real answer. Now, when I tell you about the wives, Sacks, Cats, and Kits that were leaving St. Ives, people would have a natural tendency to think that these things are important to the problem at hand and to the solution. The wording actually deceives you into thinking that it is the wives or the Sacks or so forth that are going to St. Ives. And brain teasers get you all interested in something, well, something that has nothing to do with the solution, so that you will go about solving the wrong problem or trying to find an answer to a question that nobody asked. You know, magic works the same way. We have any magic fans out here, any of the guys that, you know, were on TV years ago. I can't even remember the name, but, David Copperfield was one of them. He made a 747 disappear, right? And all that kind of stuff. Well, magic works the same way. It uses misdirection and diversion. That is to distract the audience from the deception so that they participate in the trick. It's all part of the fun. It really is fun of watching the show, and no real harm is done because we know that the performer is fooling us. We actually enjoy the performer's skill at pulling off the deception. It's all fun and games when it's just entertainment and part of the show, but that all changes when these same tricks are used against us in real life. That is what the temple rulers were attempting to do in the gospel this day. Jesus is in the temple, and a parade of temple rulers, well, they came before him, and they were asking questions and hoping to verbally humiliate Jesus, to try to take him down just a notch or two. They were trying to make him look bad in front of the people. And today's gospel, it tells us about the attempt of the Sadducees that they made when it was their turn. The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. Sorry to do that. Every time I see that word, it's just kind of like natural for me, but that's how I remember. The Sadducees, they suggested a hypothetical situation. Instead of a man with seven wives, they suggested a woman with seven husbands who happened to be brothers. Now, each of these brothers takes his turn as this woman's husband and then dies and leaves the woman childless. Now, this is an extreme example of Levirate marriage. And Levirate marriage was a civil law in ancient Israel and much of the rest of the Middle East. Basically, it goes like this. If a married man died and left no children, the nearest male relative would marry his widow. And this near relative would care for the widow, and their first son would become the legal child of that first husband who died. And this child would inherit the dead husband's property, his money, his livestock, and so forth. Now, the Sadducees proposed a situation where this happened seven times, but no one, not once, did it produce a child. And their scenario is pretty improbable, but it is mathematically possible. And then the Sadducees wanted Jesus to tell them who the woman's husband would be in heaven. And there is a trick to the Sadducees' question. And the trick is so devious, it's possible that even the Sadducees knew it was there. The Sadducees made an assumption about the nature of heaven. They made an assumption on the nature of heaven, something they didn't believe in. They assumed that people would be married in heaven the same way that they were married on earth, and their assumption was wrong. The Sadducees came up with this ridiculous scenario because they didn't believe in the resurrection. They wanted to demonstrate publicly how ridiculous the idea of life after death, the resurrection, and heaven and hell all were. They wanted to back Jesus into a corner so that he had to admit that the whole idea of life after death was ridiculous. They thought they had Jesus right where they wanted him, and they thought wrong. Of course, Jesus picked up on the false assumption immediately. He knows men's hearts. And the Sadducees' scenario was not ridiculous because the afterlife is ridiculous, but because they had made the ridiculous assumption that life in the next world is the same as it is in this world. They assumed that people would still be married in the next life. And Jesus told them this was not the case. In verse 35 of today's gospel, Jesus said, "They neither marry nor are given in marriage." Now, today's culture also has its false assumptions, just as the Sadducees did. Today's culture often uses false assumptions in opposition to Christianity. In today's world, we often hear questions like, "What gives you the right to tell us what is right and what is wrong?" Or, "How can you say your religion is any better than the others?" Have you ever heard that? Maybe it was said to you, maybe you heard it somewhere else. Now, there is a false assumption in these questions and in questions that are like them. The assumption is so deceptive that most people don't know that it is there. You know what that is? I'm going to tell you. The unspoken assumption behind these questions is that religion is a product that we, you and I, manufacture. It is something that we make up. The popular notion is that all people have a source of spiritual power within themselves, and people must develop that power in their own special way. Now, this gives rise to the popular notion that people should believe in whatever works best for them. It also gives rise to the idea that we should allow anyone to believe anything. It gives rise to a world like the world in the book of Judges, where we read in Judges 21:25, "Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." We Christians have confidence in our faith because it does not come from inside us through our own effort. Our faith, our righteousness, our salvation is not something that we do. Can I get an amen? One more time. Amen. Okay. It is something that God does for us. My body for you. My blood for shed for you. God the Father loves us so much that He sent His only begotten Son into the world. God the Son loves us so much that He took our place under the law, keeping it perfectly and then enduring its penalty on our behalf. God the Holy Spirit loves us so much that He works faith in us through word and through sacrament. Our salvation comes from God. Our salvation does not come from ourselves or our own efforts. Now, when the world asks us its questions, we can say this: you are right. You're right. We do not have the right to tell you what is right and wrong, but God does. We can say, we do not have the right to tell you what to believe, but God does. And furthermore, we have not worked out a plan for your salvation, but God did. The Sadducees in today's gospel tried to make the resurrection of the dead seem ridiculous, and boy, did they fail. Jesus not only showed them a flaw in their argument, but He then made a point of His own. He said, God is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live in Him. That was verse 38 of today's gospel. Jesus not only made the point, but He demonstrated it. On the Friday after He had this debate that we read today with the Sadducees, the Friday after He carried our sins to the cross and there paid the penalty for them with His very life. The following Sunday, He Himself rose from the dead and He paved the way for all who believe in Him to join Him in everlasting paradise. The everlasting paradise of heaven. Now, the world can make all the false assumptions it wants to, but no other faith, not one, has a God who serves His own to the point of offering His life on the cross in their place. No other faith, not one, has a God who says, I have saved you. You do not save yourself. This is most certainly true. In the name of Jesus, amen.